At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? We are getting ready for the Sharks to play host to the Islanders coming up at 7:30 tonight for go time, 7 o'clock pre, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. No Alexander Barabanov in tonight's lineup that we know right now at the time of recording. It sounds like Duclair might not be in there as well. We're obviously thinking about the potential of trades, so we'll have to wait and see. And as of right now, nothing is yet known. But to get into tonight's matchup and a little bit of background on the Isles, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Andrew Gross, who covers the Islanders for Newsday.com. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Ted, great to hear your voice, and you know, it's good to be back out on the West Coast.
Yeah, man, we've had a little bit of rain recently, but it's looking like a nice, sunny, intermittently cloudy day so far today, so you seem to have missed the worst of it. And, well, you know, any Sharks fans will tell you that you didn't see the worst of it the other night when they blew a 6-3 lead, which was not particularly fun to see. Let me ask you this, because you're on the other side of the country. You're also in a major sports market, obviously, in New York. How much attention is being paid from your perspective as, you know, not just a hockey journalist, but also a hockey fan, of what's been going on with San Jose?
Oh, I mean, trying to find the right words to, I don't want to be insulting, but no, I mean, there's not a ton of attention. I mean, maybe, you know, David Quinn being the former Rangers coach, maybe you know, you get a peek in here or there, but look, you know, the game started 10:30, you know, right, East Coast time. There's, you know, they're at the bottom of the standings. They really haven't impacted, right? So, and it's funny, you know, I say this all the time. I say this to other players. So whenever the Islanders are obviously going also to Anaheim and Los Angeles, and whenever the Kings are in New York or we go to LA, I invariably wind up saying to someone, boy, you know, no one on the East Coast really appreciates how great a career Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty have had. What great players they are. You know, I get to see them live twice a year. I consider myself lucky, but for the most part, it's really hard on the East Coast to follow what's going on the West Coast just because of the extreme time difference.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time. I said, you know, when I was younger, I used to think there was an East Coast bias until the first time I was in New York, and I realized that if I wanted to stay up to watch the Warriors the first night that I was playing there, that the game wouldn't start till, you know, somewhere, I think about 10:38 would have been the tip off. And it's like, oh, no, this isn't a bias. These are just humans who need to get some sleep.
You know, it's true. You know, and look, I try and pay attention. You know, I sort of feel obligated. You know, I'm a voter, you know, with the Professional Hockey Writers Association. You know, I vote on some of the postseason awards, and I want to be fair to players across the league, not just, you know, players in the Eastern time zone. But it really is hard, you know, if I'm waking up at 5:30, 6 a.m. like I usually do, I can't stay up until 1:30, 2 in the morning watching, you know, the Sharks or the Ducks.
No, it makes sense. I mean, that is the reality of the time difference. But well, I could quiz you on those issues for longer, but let's look at the Islanders. What was your reaction to the firing of Lane Lambert? Did you feel like that was inevitable, or did you maybe think, okay, that was one direction they could have gone? What was your immediate take?
No, I think you hit on the right word. It had begun to feel inevitable. In fact, there was a stretch in November. The team was not doing well. I think that was I forgot how many games in a row they didn't win and, you know, didn't get a win. It might have been seven, but they had a really rough patch. They were out west, you know, northern in Vancouver, Seattle, Edmonton, Calgary, that trip. And they really struggled through that. And there was some thought that, you know, Lane Lambert might be let go then. They started playing better towards the end of the trip. They had a little bit better of a December, but they just never got any consistency or traction. And you could see it with the players that they were, you know, players can sense when things are not going to turn around. And I think they had sort of hit that wall where they realized if the status quo remained, they were certainly not going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
It definitely, a coaching change definitely felt inevitable at a certain point. And which is, you know, you hate saying that because these are human beings. And, you know, Lane Lambert waited such a long time for a chance to be an NHL head coach. And then it was really over in a nanosecond for him because he, you know, he coached a full season and then basically got half of the next one and that's it. And I'll be honest, I based on that, I don't know if Lane gets a second chance as an NHL head coach.
Well,
and it's too bad for him.
Well, a lot of people didn't know if Patrick Waugh would get another chance. And I, like many, was surprised, and pleasantly so, because I just, from a pure entertainment standpoint, and obviously I think, you know, some of the work that he's done at lower levels, people say that he's a very different coach now than he was in previous stints. But yeah, that like guys invariably, not invariably, but oftentimes do get another chance because it seems like there is always a learning component that has something to happen for a first go round as being at the helm.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to that, and you can see it in Patrick. I think he's got control of his emotions a little bit better. I mean, we're 16 games into it right now, but he, you know, he does not come off as a stark raving lunatic whatsoever. He definitely is still very fiery and he's got, you know, he's got a lot of opinions and he pushes his team, but he is different from when he was in Colorado. I think going back to junior hockey has taught him some stuff. He's, you know, he relates to the players really, really well because, look, he's, when all is said and done, he's still Patrick Waugh. And, you know, and that hits you whenever you're talking to him.
Right.
That this is, you know, quite literally one of the greatest players in NHL history. He has a ton of respect in that room. And I think he relates to the players very well. It's a veteran group with the Islanders. I think that plays well with Patrick. And he's really relishing this second chance at the NHL because, as you say, he said at his introductory Zoom press conference, he really did not expect it to take this long for the phone to ring a second time. And I think there was a little bit of humbling going along with that.
In terms of, though, his, you know, his presence with the media and, you know, I understand the term humbling, but I mean, he just, to me, and I say this in a positive way, like when I hear him speak, there is a tremendous amount of pride that comes through because, like you alluded to, he is one of the all-time greats. That's undeniable, and that's always going to be part of his narrative. And it's still, even though, you know, he's not, you know, being held back, leaning out over the ice, screaming at the other bench, that hasn't been seen to the same extent. But, you know, he's still a fiery, entertaining guy.
Yeah, no, he is. And, you know, he works well with the media. He gets his message across through the media very well, much like Barry Trotz did. You know, he, it's, you know, selfishly going from Lane Lambert to Patrick Waugh, it's easier for us to do our jobs. We're getting better and more useful quotes and a little bit more information out of the head coach, Patrick Waugh. You know, I don't know whether he's ever talked to Lou about this or not, but even when Barry Trotz was here, he would not tell us who his goalie was. Even if it was 10 minutes before the game, he would say, well, you know, it's one of the two Russians who are going to start, right? and Lane Lambert never discussed his goalies. And Patrick Waugh is just, you know, at one point there was one stretch where he told us 2 days in advance that Semyon Varlamov was going to start the next game.
Yeah.
He doesn't hide it. And it's just, it goes to what most of us in the media have been saying. I mean, you know what, and Major League Baseball teams announce 5 days in advance who the starting pitcher is, right? You know what the rotation is. You're not winning or losing a game because you're not informing the other team who the goalie is. I mean, generally, the other team can figure it out anyway. So, you know, it's just nice to have a coach who just, you know, he doesn't subscribe to that BS, basically.
Yeah, no, it's funny. My brother had a joke about hiding lineups in hockey and soccer one time, and he said, "Well, Ted, it's not like they're going to run an onside kick to start the game. You know, it's like, I think we all have a pretty good idea of what's coming, so you might as well just, you know, have a little bit of transparency." But it always makes me chuckle a little bit. What's your interpretation of what's going to happen between about 23 hours from now at the deadline? I know that one Anthony Duclair has been, you know, thought of as by some that a player that the Islanders could look at. But some people have said, you know, the way this team is playing, maybe they should just kind of see where this takes them at this current, you know, juncture in time.
Yeah, you know, and I think I was writing last year at the trade deadline, even back to when, the Duke was it was in Florida. This is the guy I think would fit really well with the Islanders. I think, based on what I saw out of the Sharks' morning skate, it looks like Duclair's going to be held out of the lineup tonight. And I know the reporting is from Curtis that, the expectation is that he'll be, you know, probably moved tomorrow. Not tonight, but tomorrow. He'll likely be moved. So, he's a guy, you know, he's a guy that I think would really be what the Islanders are looking for. You could fit him in under the cap at his $3 million figure because the Islanders have Scotty Mayfield on long-term injured reserve. So you can make the money work. It's just a matter of what the payment back is. And, the Islanders, I know Patrick Waugh has revamped the lines and you're getting scoring now. But I still think they could use another scoring wing here to kind of fortify the lineup. So I would be fine if the Islanders bid on not to make a pun there, but, you know, if they, got Anthony Duclair, I think he's a good fit for the Islanders. And, Lou Lamoriello and knowing Lou and anyone who knows Lou, this was not a surprising comment, but he came out a couple of days ago and he said, "We are not subtracting, if we can add, we will do it, but we are not subtracting." And, anyone who knows Lou knows that he does not believe in the rebuild. He does not believe in giving up on a season. And, since the move has been made to Patrick Waugh, Lou's faith in this group is sort of playing out. You know, if things break right tonight, right, and say the Islanders are able to beat the Sharks, and the Sharks obviously have lost 8 straight. So, this is one of those games where it's like the Islanders can do no right. They're expected to win. Mm-hmm. They can only screw this up, right? But say they get the 2 points, the Flyers are in Florida, and Florida just brings in Tarasenko. The Flyers trade away Walker. you know, the Islanders could be 2 points out of a playoff spot, right behind the third place Flyers at the end of tonight if things break right for them.
Yeah, no, obviously they sit at 68 points, third in the wild card right now. I'm curious, though, and this is really interesting. If you had asked me at the beginning of the year and talked to me about the metropolitan area in which you reside, I would have said, yeah, the Islanders, the Devils, the Rangers, I expect all of them to be, you know, towards the top this year. And only the Rangers have been there, which makes me wonder, what do you think is coming this offseason for the Islanders, knowing that, yes, we're a long way from the playoffs. We don't know how things are going to play off. But, what is your expectation? Let's say they eke in and are out in the first round, or let's say they miss out. What do you expect in this offseason for the Islanders?
Yeah, it's a good question because they have some contracts ending, right? Cal Clutterbuck and Matt Martin are both on the last year of their deals. And if they don't get re-signed, then it really is kind of a new look Islanders next year, just because that fourth line, and the fourth line isn't together right now because Casey Cizikas has been elevated to the third line between Simon Holmstrom and Pierre Engvall. But it could feel like a different team next year. Now, if they make the playoffs, even if they lose in the first round, I think Lou's going to be able to convince ownership that they're on the right path. And, and it'll probably be a lot of the same next season. Although, again, you know, if you lose those two guys, you probably need to, it's going to be tough bringing in defense depth because you're so committed and you have to pay with the contracts. You committed to Scotty Mayfield long-term, Ryan Pulock long-term, Adam Pellick long-term, Noah Dobson, who's now, basically a borderline Norris Trophy candidate. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to ante up for him as well. So it's going to be difficult to spend money to import a defenseman, but I think the forward lines, you could see some movement there. I mean, it just depends how radical Lou wants to go. Anders Lee is playing really well now, but he's coming towards the end of his deal. Brock Nelson, I think he's got a couple more years left. Jean-Gabriel Pageot, same deal. You could see a hockey trade instead of a contract trade, which would be kind of radical.
Yeah, no, it'd be fascinating. And then, just in terms of what your expectations are for tonight, is this an Islanders squad that remembers the Sharks' comeback from December, early December?
They better.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, there have been a couple of real clunkers for the Islanders this year. And I still say that, probably the stadium series loss to the Rangers, where they blew the third period lead and gave up two power play goals, 6-on-4 in the last couple of minutes. But I was just going back over that Sharks game at UBS Arena on December 5th. The Sharks win 5-4 in overtime. The Islanders had a 4-1 lead at 8:27.
Yeah.
Of the third period. And I mean, honestly, that's a game you 100% have to win. And I remember after that game, the feeling was, this team might not be going anywhere this year just because they do not know how to play in the third period. That's been turned around of late under Patrick Waugh. But yeah, I would hope the guys in that room certainly remember. I mean, the Sharks have had a rough go of it, but they're playing free right now. Yeah. I mean, at this time of the year, teams like the Sharks tend to be the most dangerous teams because it's just young guys looking for roster spots for next season. So there's not going to be any, give on the Sharks end. So I saw they just put up 6 goals against the Stars the other night. I mean, that's not easy. The Stars are a good team. I know they lose that one 7-6, but still, that's a good effort from them. So I would hope that the Islanders, and by that I am sure it's been reminded to them either through the coaching staff or the players talking amongst themselves.
I will let you go, Andrew, because I know you've got stuff to do, but I appreciate your time as always, and I will see you a little bit later tonight, all right?
Ted, looking forward to it, man. Thanks so much for having me. Be well.
Again, that was Andrew Gross of Newsday joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network, and we are all out of time. 7 o'clock pre, 7:30 go time on the Sharks Audio Network. See y'all tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yend.